Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, and we worship you. It's what we're going to get to do throughout eternity, is worship and praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. For he was slain and he bought us. He bought us back. Jesus, you redeemed us. You paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to you we owe. Thank you for it, Lord. Accept our worship this morning. May it be pleasing, God. May it be sweet incense rising up before the throne of God that pleases you, makes you happy, puts a smile on your face. Help us to please you, God, in whatever we do. Thank you for allowing us to come in to worship. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Father, for our pastor and his family. We just pray for Brother Bartet this morning. We pray your blessings upon him and his family. We pray, God, for his recovery or his quarantine to be over and to be back in the pulpit, Lord. We pray for those who are sick among us. We pray and lift their names up to you, Lord, and just lift them up to you and pray that you would touch their bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for this time that we have together this morning to worship and praise you and delve into your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, yes. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Awesome job. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, again, it's good to see everybody this morning. And my wife is able to be here with me today. Yes. She was scheduled to work, and she got off work and for something else, and that fell through. So she was here last Sunday and this Sunday, so that's wonderful. And I'm glad and I'm thankful. Amen. My kids are here, too, and Ann. A visitor, we're glad to have y'all. And Joe, you and your family here with us this morning, we're glad to have y'all with us. And if I missed anybody, visitors this morning, I'm sorry. I'm glad to have my kids with me this morning. And you say, well, they're in church with you every Sunday. I'm thankful. Amen? Amen. I'm thankful that that they still go to church with us on Sunday morning. But I think they like living at our house, so. Speaking of that, about 3 weeks ago, I got exposed to COVID, and I got quarantined, and I had to stay home for about 10 days and got tested, and I didn't have it or anything. It wasn't a big deal, but my wife and I stayed home together for, somebody's laughing already. It happened to be her week off. She works a week on and a week off. And it happened to be her week off. And I guess it was about Wednesday of that week. We were sitting on the couch drinking coffee at 7 o'clock in the morning. And Caitlin and Evan had both gone to work. And we were sitting on the couch drinking coffee. I said, this is about the weirdest thing I think I've ever felt. You know, the roles have reversed. We were at home and drinking coffee, and they'd gone to work, which is a good thing, very good thing. And the next day, I think it was, we were sitting on the coffee drinking drinking. I wished I could have done that on purpose. We were sitting on the couch drinking coffee. What did I say, sitting on the coffee drinking the couch? Well, you'll get it when you hear what the rest of it is. We were sitting on the couch drinking coffee, and my wife turned to me and said, Paul, you better think long and hard before you ever consider retiring. I think we were getting, I was fine, but I think I had rocked her world. She has her week off, and I'm off working, and all of a sudden I'm home during the week, and I think I cramped her style. So she told me I better think before I fully retire because, anyway. Well, I usually tell an Evan story. I hardly ever tell a Caitlin story, but I'm going to tell an Evan story this morning. This kind of goes back, and Caitlin, I'll get to you in a minute. But this kind of goes back to what I was saying a while ago about them being in church. Evan and I were out mowing grass off somewhere the other day, and we were driving back home. It was almost dark. He had worked all day, and I had too, and we had gone and mowed grass somewhere. But we was driving back home, and we were just flipping through the radio station, listening to songs, and this country song came on, and it's by Trace Atkins. Evan had never heard it, and I had never heard it. And we were listening to it, and this guy's singing the song, and he says that he got up on Sunday morning, and he wanted to go fishing a while before church. And he got out and started fishing before church, and he started catching fish. So he was sitting there contemplating what to do, and the line on the chorus of the song says, "I'd rather be on the lake with my mind on God than in church with my mind on fishing," which is not a good thing, okay? He said, "I'd rather be on the lake with my mind on God than in church with my mind on fishing." And my son thought that was very funny. And I just wanted to say that I'm thankful this morning that he's in church. Amen. And I pray that his mind's on God and his mind is not on fishing. And now for the Caitlin story, but I have something else to tell before I actually get to the Caitlin story. A few years ago, I was working in Mississippi, and I was working on a well, and they told me to leave there and go 5 or 6 miles down the road and where to turn. There were some more wells I needed to go look at or something I needed to go look at while I was there, and I left. I was driving down the road looking for this place, and I saw this gate on the left-hand side of the road, and it had a big sign on that gate. And I saw on the sign, it says, "Are you saved?" And I said, I'm going to check this out. So I turned around, and when I drove back through, I pulled in to read the sign. And the sign said, and it was a gate that goes into this man's property, it says, "Are you saved?" It said, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you died today, would you know where you would go?" And then underneath it, it says, "If you come through this gate and trespass onto my property, you will find out immediately." That always stuck with me. And I thought about the day, I don't know, it's a long way off, but I think about the day that comes when some little boy comes over to our house and wants to take Caitlin out on a date. And being a Christian and a preacher, I'm going to sit down with that young man and say, "Son, sit down here at this table. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If something bad was to happen to you, real bad, and you died, do you know where you would go? You mess with my baby girl, you will find out immediately." So, Caitlin, I gave you a shout out. I don't know. Evan and I always said that when that time came that he was going to shoot him and I'd bury him, or I'd shoot him and he'd bury him. So we just have to see how that works out. Well, it's good to be in church this morning. It's good to laugh. We can have a good time loving Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5, we're going to be reading and beginning to read in verse 1. But I want to ask you a question as we turn there. And I mentioned it last week, but everywhere in the Gospels, or not in the Gospels, but everywhere in the New Testament, just about where Paul wrote to a church, he greeted them. And how did he greet them? Grace and peace. Grace and peace. He used something that was very common in that day. They had a word that was charein or something like that. It was a Greek word that meant greeting. And Paul took it and he used the word charis, which is Greek for grace. And then he took the Jewish greeting shalom and melded them together. And he had a greeting that was grace and peace to you. And I like that. I like grace and I like peace. Grace, as Paul stated, came from God the Father and Jesus Christ. And Paul understood that this is a divine attribute and it was uniquely Christian. It was a Christian concept not found in other religions or other belief systems outside of Christianity and Judaism. No other religion taught of a God who loves, accepts, and forgives human beings, not based on anything we do, but in spite of what we do. Amen? God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son lavished their love on human beings, not because that is who and what they did, because that's who and what they are. God is loved personified. And the gospel is good news. Amen? Amen. I want to speak to you a few minutes about the grace of God in which we stand. There's a lot of bad news today if you watch TV and the things are going through, or we're going through, but there is good news today. We stand in the grace of Almighty God. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and if you go back to Romans chapter 4, you'll read where the writer talks about Abraham being justified by faith. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since Abraham was justified by faith, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I like this part. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man some would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we will also exult in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. As human beings, as mankind, we have a problem. We are fallen. We are sinful. We inherited the sinful nature from Adam. And we're trying to be reconciled and be made right with a holy God. And there's a great chasm. There's a great gap between it all. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. And we are not. Amen? He is the righteous judge. And the problem with that is that one day we are going to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says that it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. One day that we're going to die, and we're going to stand before a holy God and give an account. And friends, the only way we're going to be able to do that is be found in Jesus Christ. All the things that I see going on in the world today and all the things that are happening, you know, our God is a God of justice, and we want to see justice done. But it seems like there's a time frame, there's a time lapse. One day that justice will be done, but in the meantime, we are where we are. The judgment and the justice of God is that we're all guilty before God, and we all stand guilty before God. I just want to go through a few words with you real quick. I used to go to church with a guy, and his kid's name, one of them's name was Mercy. One of them's name was Ransom. What was the other name? Do y'all remember the other one? It was Timothy. Okay, well. Close. But it was Ransom and it was Mercy. And this is what God does for us. God extends mercy to us. I like the word mercy. Mercy is not receiving what I deserve. If you've ever been speeding and get caught by a police officer, or you do something wrong and you're caught and you're dead to right, and if they don't write you the ticket, or if they don't give you what you deserve, you receive mercy. The second word that I like in this, what I'm talking about today, is grace. Grace is not receiving what I deserve, but not receiving what I deserve, which is mercy, but receiving something that I don't deserve, and that's grace. God's grace is receiving something that we don't deserve, and it results in justification. And when we're saved and when we experience the grace of God, we are justified, and that's made right, and that means just as if I had never sinned. That's a good thing, to be justified. Then we are reconciled, and God brings us to a place back to Him again. And I want to go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and I want to talk again about the grace in which we stand and share with you just a few things real quickly about where we stand in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, if I can find it. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 out of the New Living says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God through what Jesus our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." And there's a word there called undeserved privilege. And I can tell you this morning that if you're saved, I know I'm saved, if you're saved, you're standing in a place of undeserved privilege with God. You know, right now there's a lot of talk about privilege, and there's white privilege. You know, that's being talked about right now that I'm not even going to go there about that. But there is a God privilege thing, that we are privileged. God has allowed us to be saved and to stand before Him blameless. God does not save on the basis of ethnicity. He doesn't save on socioeconomics. And define that means is God will save you. It don't matter what color you are. It don't matter how much money you are. God saves because He loves people. Amen? Amen. God saves because He loves people. We are saved and we're put in this place of privilege because of the grace of Almighty God. He has saved us by His grace and gave us a place of privilege. Our sins are forgiven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's praying for us. That's a place of privilege. Amen? You know, we sang a song last week, "It Is Well With My Soul." another part of the privilege that we have. Verse 3 of that song, I love the lyrics of it. It says, it talks about the forgiveness of sin. It says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's a wonderful thought, that our sins are forgiven. They're nailed to the cross. Psalms 32 says, and David said this, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Romans chapter 4 continues by quoting that. It says, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the man whose God's credit righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. It's an amazing thing to stand in the grace of God, that I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and know my sins are forgiven. If I don't wake up tomorrow morning, don't worry about me, okay? It's all right. I stand in the grace of God. I stand on what Jesus has done for me. And Jan and Jay, I can't remember who said it, but I remember one night back in the fellowship hall, a Wednesday or a Sunday night, and I always said Jan said it, but I think she said Jay said it. But it, she said, or somebody said, it's just like we won the lottery. Amen? The spiritual lottery. It's a place of privilege. To be born again, to have Jesus in your heart, to be saved is a place of privilege. The second thing is, it's a place of protection. When you are in Jesus Christ, you are protected. He is with you. And it's a place of protection. The scripture says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we are confidently and joyfully looking forward to sharing God's glory. It's a place of God's privilege. And I read one commentator who talked about the grace of God and how God saves us and what he does for us. And when he saves us, how he delivers us out of the dominion of darkness and brings us into the dominion of light. And it says in this, in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, in which we have access. And this commentator said that access word means that it is used other places in the scripture like a pathway into a harbor, to safe harbor. When I worked offshore, we would be out. We had a 100-foot boat called the Texas Star. We'd be working offshore, and it would be very rough out there. The winds would be blowing. Everything would be just horrible. But you could come in, and you would make it to the shore. And you wouldn't make it quite to the shore, but out from the shore, there was a jetty, and there were these rock barriers. And you could get in that rock barrier, and you could go into the harbor, and everything would settle down. The grace of God is a place of protection. We're saved by grace and we're kept by grace. Amen? It's a place of protection. God saves us. God brings us into this place of protection and safety and keeps us there. No outer force can get us. No outer force can get us. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. John chapter 10, verse 27, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, my sheep listen or hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gives them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or the sword? Just as it is written, for your sakes we are being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Friends, the grace of God will keep you. Amen? Now you say, and you're preaching eternal security. I'm not doing that this morning, but I'll tell you this. I got saved in 1986, and I've been saved ever since. The grace of God has kept me. I hadn't gone out and lived like hell. I've tried to walk with him, but the grace of God will keep you. Amen? The only thing that'll get you is when you turn away inside and go your own way. I had a friend of mine. He told me this story. Well, he told me this in his yard. I wanted to say he went middle-aged crazy, but he waited too late. He was in his 50s. You're supposed to go middle-aged crazy in your 30s, don't you? Something like that, 40s, 30s or 40s. Well, he waited in his 50s and went middle-aged crazy. Him and his wife started having trouble. He went out and started doing drugs and just went nuts. And he was in his 50s. Came right back. Yeah, he was in his 50s, and he went probably a couple of years or 18 months or so just nuts, and they finally came back. Him and his wife reconciled. He got back in church, and he's a good Christian man. Let me preface it with this. He had got good saved years ago, but he went nuts. I stood out in his yard one day, and he talked to me, and he cried. He had tears coming down his face. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, the grace of God is amazing. He said, I went away. He said, I went away. He said, I went nuts. I went crazy. And he said, I found myself buying drugs at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, I'd be at a drug dealer's house. And he said, most church people won't believe this, but said God's spirit was sitting there poking me, talking to me. 3 o'clock in the morning, he said, we're fixing to buy drugs. And God's spirit was saying, son, what are you doing? What are you doing here? So this ain't where you belong. And he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, he will leave the 99. He'll pursue you. He'll leave the 99. The grace of God is a place of protection. Don't do that. Okay, don't try that. You know what that thing, don't try this at home. Don't do that. But the grace of God saves us. It protects us. It's a place of protection. Stay under the blood. Don't get out from under the blood. Stay under the blood of Jesus. Stay right. The grace of God also, we stand in a place of perseverance. He says here that we rejoice in hope. Not only do we rejoice in hope, but we rejoice in suffering. Who rejoices in suffering? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his love for us into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. When I was a kid, there was a country song that went like this. And it's a woman who sang it. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. And I think Jesus' words was, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. And in Romans chapter 5, it tells us you're standing in a place of grace. You are protected, but you're not in a cellophane wrapper. You're going to have trouble. But friends, the grace of God will see you through the trouble. Amen? It's a place of grace. It's a place of protection. And it's a place that will see you through the trouble. That song also says, along with the sunshine, there's going to be a little rain sometimes. Amen. We enjoy this grace, but we don't enjoy the storm. The storm is where we grow, where we're stretched. It's the headwinds and the storms of our life. When you're going through a storm, when you're going through trouble, you'll draw near to God. When you're on easy street, you draw away from God. Isn't that right? It grows us. Trouble grows us. I've had a friend that lost his wife, had five small children, and I talked to him about it. I think it was right after they buried her. She struggled with cancer for years. And it was right after they buried her, and I asked him, how did you make it? And you know what his answer was? The grace of God. He said, there's a supernatural grace that came in that supported me and held me up. And he said, I hate the situation that I'm in, losing my wife, but said, you can't have one without the other. The grace of God will see you through. The Apostle Paul had something going on, and he asked the Lord three times and begged the Lord, get this out of my life where I can go do what you call me to do. And God said, what did he say? My grace is sufficient. He said, deal with it. My grace is sufficient. The grace of God will keep you. The grace of God will get you through the hard times. And the grace of God will get us to the other side. Amen? The grace of God is going to get us to the other side. There's a grace that we have in this life right now. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And he said that a sparrow doesn't fall to the earth apart from the Father's knowledge. Friend, that's grace, that God watches this earth and he watches us. He's going to get us through. He's going to get us through. And then it says, we're going to share his glory. Now, he's given us just a taste. He's given us the Spirit as a down payment. He's given us a taste of his glory, but he's going to get us to the other side. Amen. Amen. In the life to come, we're going to share in his glory. I'm going to ask you to come. Let's sing. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, but as she comes this morning, I just want to tell you this. I'm thankful this morning for the grace of God that no matter what you've done, you can come back. Amen? No matter what you've done, you can come back. And I'm thankful that you don't have to come and sacrifice a lamb or you don't have to pay money. He paid it. Jesus paid it. And we need to stand in the grace of God. I got saved in 1986. That's what, 35 years ago? I got saved in a hotel room in Dallas, Texas. And I had gone to church that morning, and I went back to that hotel room that night. And I didn't get saved at church, and I had an internal struggle going on inside of me. Just a fight. And it was the Spirit of God trying to get me to let go and be saved and born again. And I just look back over at my life at the times that God had dealt with me and dealt with me. And he brought me to that point in life. And I was laying there in a hotel room. And I finally said, God, if you're real, I want you in my heart. I want you to come into my life. And he changed me just like that. Can I get a witness? Anybody can say, amen. God changed me. And I didn't have to pay money. I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was accept Jesus, what he did on the cross, and the grace of God was applied to my life. And friends, we need to stand in that grace. Amen. stand in the grace of God. We're going through a storm in our country. We're going through a storm in our lives, watching what we watch, and we get all disturbed and everything. But stand today in the grace of God. Amen. Stand with me this morning if you would. If you want to
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve.
If you know the history of this song, this guy was a captain of a slave ship. He was a slave trader. And he got saved one night in a storm. He didn't get saved because of what he was doing was wrong. He got saved because he was scared he was going to die in that storm. But God can save to the uttermost anybody. He went on to be a preacher, and I believe this was a sermon that he wrote, and it's pretty much become the anthem of the church. Amazing grace. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're away from God, if you know and you're away, today's the day. Just if you accept with, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Place your trust in Jesus today. Accept him. This day. Amen. Amen. Well, I encourage you today to stand in God's grace. God's good. All the time. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed.